easy to just sort of, well, want to go inwards, right? And come, oh man, the world, it's kind of dire. There's all manner of really kind of dire situations happening all over the place. But it is important to also remember to refresh our spirits and remember to have a good time and remember to laugh. And Little Shop of Horrors, a local theater production of Little Shop of Horrors. My God. Thank you, Dinae. I am excited.
It's actually, it says horrors, but it's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah,
you know?
Right? Yeah. It's awesome. And I'm sure folks listening are familiar with
and
the
great
story.
Music.
It's a fabulous score, right? So please do get a pair of tickets to Little Shop of Horrors. Go out and enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
and
that
refresh
could,
your
that
spirit.
Could help us raise our goal right now. Just get those tickets and we only have $10 to go. So, there you go. And then $75 for Peter Ho Davies' book, The Fortunes, which is getting rave reviews all across the country. And it's the arts and literature that really do lift up the spirits.
That's exactly right. So lift up your spirit by lifting up your community radio station, letting us thank you with one of these fine gifts. Give us that call right now, 877-500-5266.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 11:30. Coming up next is Art Focus with host Joseph Galavan. Today's guest is author Yoav Litvin, who studies street art and graffiti in his new book, To Create.
Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Galavan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Yoav Litvin. He's an artist, photographer, and documentarian from New York City. He's written a book called To Create: Art Collaborations in New York City, which comes out in October 2016. Thanks for coming into KBOO, Yoav.
Thanks for having me.
So you're a neuroscientist, and you had this idea that collaboration is incredibly powerful, but you wanted to get street artists, graffiti artists together to collaborate on, paintings. So tell us briefly why collaboration is of importance to you as a neuroscientist.
Well, first of all, I think we live in a culture and a society of individualism that is kind of glorified. And I think there's a fundamental kind of error in that viewpoint. And it's actually backed by neuroscientific evidence that shows that human beings are social animals, social species. We thrive and we create when we collaborate with each other. Every kind of new invention is based on previous work. It's not that something comes out of nothing. So taking that perspective and my passion for the arts, I wanted to show this principle in a kind of very appealing way, and street art just seemed like a radical and kind of dynamic art form to show it.
Mm-hmm. So you would you just look up artists in books, or would you check out tags and try and find the person to contact them?
Well, I've been a kind of street art super fan for quite a few years now. I published a book in 2014 called Outdoor Gallery New York City, and what it did was look at 46 of the most common and prevalent street art and artists in New York City. And the way I developed connections was I would take a picture, post it on Instagram, and if I didn't know the artist, very quickly that picture would be tagged with the artist, and I would make that connection right away and then go to a show if I liked the artist, met them in person. So it's beautiful how Instagram played a...
So all the people who followed you or looked, who saw the piece would know who it was and tag because they like to help.
Well, not all of them, but there was at least one who would know who this is.
So there's kind of a race to tag the piece, and then that puts you in touch with the person.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And you, this book is divided into chapters where you just... There's a lot of photos for each chapter, and you're showing it day one, day two, day three, that kind of thing, where the two artists are coming together. So the first one people should look at is Gilly Ballistic and Al Diaz. Now, who's Al Diaz?
Al Diaz is a New York based, born in the Lower East Side. Actually, scratch that off because I'm not sure 100%.
Start that again. Say Al Diaz is.
Al Diaz is a very well-known graffiti artist who started in the early 70s. And he was exposed to kind of the pioneer graffiti artists of that era and became very active graffiti artist. His moniker was Bomb One. And at a certain point, he formed a friendship with Jean-Michel Basquiat. And they to get messages that were radical and kind of smart-assy and on the streets of New York City, and they got a lot of attention in the media, and that campaign kind of propelled Jean-Michel Basquiat. And Al Diaz is still making wonderful art. He uses wet paint signs and different kinds of subway signs that are that you can see very easily in the MTA in New York City. He takes them and uses the letters to convey messages that are many times radical, poetic, beautiful, beautiful work.
And Jilly Ballistic seems like a young woman. How do they know each other?
This is also documented in the book as far as how the duos met each other. This particular duo met at some kind of function. They saw each other's work already. They both work in the MTA. They really liked how the idea of working together and seeing how each can push the other's limits and build on that relationship. And they just started working together. And then I saw their pieces and I was like, this is ideal for my project. And I know Jilly from my previous outdoor gallery project.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's in there as well.
So you got together with them, and where did you go on the subway?
So I documented their individual processes at their studio. And then I went with them. They met up at the subway platform on Union Square Station in Manhattan. And they scoped out a spot. They chose the spot, and I documented their whole kind of process. So this comes to kind of demonstrate the reason I call the book To Create, because it's two people creating, but it's also the process. So I document the process of creation.
Mm-hmm. So Jilly's style is collage, cutting out black and white pictures, in this case, soldiers, and Al is text, basically, big fonts. And he writes an empire in decline, and she has soldiers sort of like tug of warring, pulling something.
Right.
And what's the meaning of the art?
Well, I don't like to, shove a meaning down people's throats as far as, the actual message. And I don't think the artists want one particular, kind of message to be. I take it to a radical perspective as far as like the American empire is in decline. New York City is the empire city. It's really the heart of empire. And that's why actually this work is so important, because it does serve to challenge people and to educate them.
Mm-hmm. How long would this art be expected to stay up before they scrape it off?
That's a great question. It can last an hour, and it can last maybe a couple of days, but it's pretty quickly taken down from
there. Did you stick around for this one?
I stuck around about half an hour to get a shot from the opposite platform, which is a little bit down. But I didn't wait for it to be scraped off. I've seen that though before. I've documented Jilly Ballistic's work, and I actually came on a rolling subway one time to a station that I knew her work was featured in. And I literally saw the MTA employee scraping it off, and I ran to her and I shouted, don't, do you know what you're doing? This is art. And she just looked at me like I was nuts. And what I did was I actually used my spit to paste it back up so I can get the shot of it. And that shot is in outdoor gallery.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they're on camera, right, while they're working in the subway? Nobody comes down and stops them?
They scope a location that's not visible on camera. So there's certain dead blind spots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you went to, you spent a bit of time in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, which I used to live in, so which is not a very pretty part of New York City. And you found these two guys, Sekis and Cern. Sekis is from Chile, Cern is from Queens, New York. And what do they have in common that you thought they should work together?
Well, they've worked together in the past, and I think it really demonstrates kind of the globalization of street art and graffiti. They've met before in different painting venues, and then I know Sekis came to New York and linked up with Cern, and they painted together in the past. I really love, first of all, their personalities. I think they're wonderful people, and I also like their styles a lot. They're both old-school graffiti artists who paid their dues. Sekis is a godfather as far as the graffiti movement in Santiago, Chile. They have the style of the graffiti, bombing and wild-style pieces and tags. And then they also develop their art form, and they're doing street art, which is more abstract. Sekis painted this fence interweaved with plants, and Cern painted a garden in the background. I think it's really encapsulates the beauty of collaboration and how two people complement each other.
Mm-hmm. They're up on a roof in Brooklyn, and there's a wall that's probably 15 feet high that they've got to work with big ladders. Is this visible from the street?
Yeah, there's actually a halfway house on that street. The people were actually watching us from the streets and just enjoying it and really supportive. You can see it from a couple of tens of feet away.
So they had collaborated before. So their collaboration here, what form did it take? Did they sit and sketch? Did they talk? Was it totally improvised as they stood there at the wall?
Specifically, Sekis and Cern, I saw them sketch a kind of rough outline. So they had an overarching plan. But then I think they always leave room for improvisation on the spot. They had the basic kind of sketch in mind, and then they just improvised. I think if an artist is that good, all they need really is to have a basic sketch and then just go from there.
Also in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, you had Dasik Fernandez and Ruben 415. Who is Dasik?
Dasik is an artist also from Chile. He's been in New York for quite a few years. He's been extremely successful and is very popular, and just I really love his art and trajectory as an artist.
Is someone like Dasik painting for money, or are they just going out doing it and knowing it's going to be covered up?
I think there's a range of works that artists like Dasik do. I think, of course, he has to eat and live, so he does works that are commissioned, and then he also does passion projects that are not commissioned.
And this is a passion project? They're painting a wall on a building at street level, so anyone could come by and see it, tag it, paint over it.
Right. This collaboration they did specifically for my book to create. I think because this work is ephemeral, it's here and then it's gone. It's a great way, especially going through the entire process, for them to remember it and make it immortal.
What you have is the corner of a building, and there's a face, someone wearing, looks like a balaclava, or just their eyes and forehead are visible. And then they're holding, the hand is up. The face is in grays, but the hand is in rainbow stripes. And there's, I think, a scarf of rainbow stripes coming off the back.
Right.
Back of the neck. Which artist did which piece?
This is a great example of how two artists can integrate in a collaboration, but you still see each one's individual style. Dasik did the face and the colorful hand and the scarf and the hoodie. And Ruben 415 did all the geometric shapes that are on the hoodie and on the face.
There are geometric shapes. There are stripes mainly and some triangles and squares in circles. They're kind of superimposed on the image. They're not really part of the shape of the person. What does Ruben normally do?
This is Ruben's style, this geometric style of graffiti, which I've heard also called math graffiti. He's a classic graffiti artist. He has unbelievably beautiful burners as well that spell out his name.
What's a burner?
A burner is a classic kind of Bronx style. It's called wild style burner, and it's a style of graffiti writing.
Mm-hmm. So he doesn't just do abstract shapes?
No. Many of these artists are both graffiti. Like I said, Sekis, Cern. A lot of these artists started out with graffiti and tagging, paid their dues in the graffiti world, and then took their art to a more abstract level, doing more characters and stuff like that. Ruben is working a lot with geometric shapes, and you can see his work all over the United States and Europe.
In New York, does he sign it?
Yeah, this piece was signed, and this piece is legal. We have friends that control different walls. They have an arrangement with the owner of the building, and I'm friends with them, so I talk to them, and so this piece is a legal piece. And usually it won't get tagged, and it hasn't gotten tagged until now, and that's, it's running for a while already.
How long?
Over a year.
Over a year without any vandalism?
No, because there's a code in the graffiti world, and a piece of this caliber, if somebody tags it, that's what's called a toy, and that's very frowned upon. If you can do better work, okay, let's see you do better work. But if you come and you do work that's not as good, that's really frowned upon in the graffiti world.
But simply writing your name, well, you know, like walking by quickly, and that's a toy?
If he writes on a piece like this, if it's just a blank wall, then cool, go at it.
No, if he damages his piece,
yeah,
covers
that's
it.
Not, that's frowned
upon. That's called
upon.
A toy?
Some people in the graffiti world call that a toy because that's juvenile behavior as far as... You have to respect your elders and the people who are doing this kind of caliber work.
Mm-hmm. And presumably it's bad for the person who just wrote their name.
Totally.
Right? They get a bad reputation.
Yeah, and in the past, also now, but especially in the past, there were big wars, graffiti wars, and there were gangs and there was violence. And so it's got a rich history of struggle and conflict as well.
What's it like now? Is it all very bourgeois and gallery-centric?
There is an aspect like that. I focus predominantly on artists that are working for the communities and for the streets, and I tend not to focus on the bourgeois. I'll use the street as a way to get into the gallery because a lot of artists are doing that just to get the exposure of the street.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm not as interested in the content of their work.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Yoav Litvin. He is an artist, documentarian, and a neuroscientist. He has a book out called To Create, Art Collaborations in New York City. It comes out in October. Can you explain some things I've always wanted to know? Tagging, when I first saw it in Los Angeles 30 years ago, I think it was all done with markers, and the script was illegible then. I mean, to me, it looked like Hebrew, Arabic, something like that.
Well, tagging started arguably in New York City, in Washington Heights, and it was kids. It was kids just playing around and daring each other. It started like a real subculture. So the tags were not really meant for you. If you can't read them, the graffiti artist doesn't really care. It's a real subculture, and that's how it developed, just like hip hop. Tagging is writing your name, and the point of it, at least the way it started, wasn't about the artistry as much as it was about the prevalence of it.
The more territory?
The more places, more trains, more anything, you know, or also dangerous places. If you can get up on the Brooklyn Bridge and write on the side of it, that's huge. And if it's in the New York Times, that's even bigger. So it was really about who's the man. There were women involved in the initial movement, less than men, because of that kind of more macho aspect to it. But today there's many, many women who are graffiti and street artists, highly successful all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, if you're a young artist who's attracted to this, whether you come from art school or from no training at all, where are you most likely to start? Are you going to start out by writing your name, or are you going to try and do a Banksy type witty image?
Again, I think it's a personal kind of taste. If you're into graffiti, which for me, graffiti is letters. Okay, so and a lot of people say graffiti, they call street art graffiti. It's a very loose kind of definition. But for the way I see it, graffiti is letters. And if you're attracted to that, I feel that the best way is to start writing your name and just start working on it. And just like with everything else, you have to practice and practice and keep writing either outdoors or in your black book and showing your friends and looking at the pioneers and looking at people who are established in graffiti and just learning from them, going to shows.
Mm-hmm. And then, what if someone's not really interested in scripts and writing and they want to make their mark? Things have been pushed and pushed to the next level. What is the level like in 2016?
Right. Well, I think these things develop kind of in parallel. I mean, I think graffiti is still developing, the letters. It's not like that was the beginning and now street art is kind of higher. They're developing in parallel. And, you know, right to start right now is, again, just practice. And if you can get a wall and get your work up and then, you know, take a photo of it. And then when you approach a new landlord with a new wall, you show him the photo of the wall you did before and try to start, you know, just work.
Does it go like that? You can just approach a landlord who's got a nice wall. And what would you say to a landlord?
You would say, hi, I'm an artist. I know this area is, you know, there's a lot of graffiti writers that tag your wall, and I know it's ugly. I don't think so, but this is a way to approach, you know, say, hey, you know, I'm willing to put up my artwork, and this is what it looks like, and I can promise you that your wall will get tagged less. That's one option. Option two would be, oh, you know, my art's really cool, and your wall's kind of boring. This will help you, you know, with your building, make your building look nice and maybe help in business.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different ways to approach it. Or, you know, if somebody's an art lover, just say like, hey, man, support me.
But there's no local rules then in the five boroughs about signs and graffiti and murals?
I think if it's highly political or some very strong sexual content, then probably there's going to be some kind of problem. But if somebody owns a building and they have a wall, you know, you can, yeah, I mean, it's a person can paint on it.
It's still kind of the promised land, New York. Because I don't think you can do that here.
You know, I was last year in South America in Bogota. It's semi-legal. So the actual landlords will put out buckets of paints for artists and they just come and paint legally in broad daylight. New York, if you paint illegally, we were talking about legally, but if you paint illegally, they're very strict. They'll put you in jail for putting up a sticker.
Illegally meaning in a place where you don't have permission.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Even if you put up a sticker, a little tiny two-inch sticker, if the police catch you, they can put you in jail. If it's on a weekend, you can be in jail all weekend.
What's the deal with stickers?
I love stickers. Stickers are just a little way to kind of, you know, make your mark really quickly, easily. I have stickers that I do for my projects. I'll give you one to add here. You know, it's just a very quick and easy way to say, hi, I was here. And I love street art for that kind of reason, because I can go in a city that's completely new to me and then suddenly I see a sticker or a piece by a friend of mine from New York and I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm at home now. So it's really nice.
And did you, throughout all this work, did you make a big conclusion about collaboration that reflected what you'd learned by studying the brain?
I mean, I feel like I took the neuroscience, but also took a kind of radical politics approach to the project, as far as, you know, we are so divided all the time in society, in our Western capitalist culture. And I feel that we really have to kind of learn to reappreciate what it means to collaborate, which is two people who are independent and are mature can work together to create something that is more than just themselves. That is, it's more than one plus one. It's much more than that. And it's amazing the things that we can accomplish when we work together.
It's a great book, very unique, beautiful. It looks beautiful. I hope the print version, when it appears, does it justice. My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Yoav Litvin. He's the author of To Create Art Collaborations in New York City. He's an artist and documentarian and a neuroscientist, and that book will be out in October. Thanks very much for coming into KBOO.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you so much, Joseph. My name is Justin, and I'm joined by Ani for this special edition of Art Focus during the fall membership drive. And what a wonderful segue, reappreciating what it means to collaborate and focusing on what we can accomplish when we do it together. Well, here's community radio for almost 50 years, and it's been accomplished because we do it together. We're asking you to make sure that you have stood up and been counted, and you can do that really easily by calling toll-free 877- 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO.
I am so excited by this interview because I love graffiti. I, in fact, have, wherever I go, if I'm ever traveling, I take pictures of graffiti. I blog about graffiti. I love graffiti. And to see, to hear, I suppose, more to the point, an interview where, in fact, people are talking about graffiti as a serious art form, talking about the urge to create as being a primal human need, that excites me. This is the sort of art programming that you really don't get other places. I'm gonna, you know, go ahead and put it out there that here it is, art of the people, really directing from the streets. It's a subculture. It's a movement. It is cultures creating together. And we're asking you right now to step forward and be a part of this community organization, of this media resource that brings forth these voices and these perspectives. Please do contribute right now at 877-500-5266. Around the world, people do have this urge to create. And, you know, if you've ever seen the great documentary Exit Through the Gift Shop, that is a really interesting look into the subcultures of graffiti. I cannot wait to read To Create. I hope that's released really soon. And that, again, is the kind of, well, focus on art here that we bring forth on KBOO. Not just a look at the galleries, but really a look at the movements that create art anew, that refresh ourselves, that give us new and different perspectives in the art world. Please do give us a call and let us know that this is programming worth supporting. 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm.
Just a modest $200 goal for Joseph Gallivan and Art Focus this week. If four of you would start that $5 a month contribution, that would take us over goal. You know, we're steadily climbing towards the summit of Mount 120,000, and we do that one contribution at a time. I was thinking it's kind of the Bernie Sanders notion, the $27 contribution in increments. The amount isn't as important as getting involved, and that's why I want to say thanks to Dale for renewing his membership in Portland and showing the way for other people to do that. Let's add a couple of new KBOO members, and let's ask you all to remember the different things that KBOO does for you, that having these real voices in your life, bringing you stories. It's not just preaching to choir, so it doesn't bring you all the same thing that you've already heard, and it's meaningful. It's about politics. It's about art. It's about spirituality. It's experts in music giving you tours around the world from different cultures, different flavors, and weaving different tapestries together. Well, some of those things enlighten and educate and enthuse, and sometimes they enrage and they empower and they activate. And all of those things together are the services that community radio is providing for you. And when you make a contribution, you're not giving the money to us, you're placing it in this community trust. And it stands here as a monument at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. It doesn't go away. It is at work for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's at work for your friends, for your family, for your colleagues, and indeed for people you don't even know. And some people are making more and some people are making less. So let's just have each one give from their ability and according to their means. And call up and introduce yourself right now, 877-500-5266.
If you think about the last couple of hours here on your community radio station, we've heard poetry from Martine Espada. We heard from Nisi Shawl and Peter Ho Davies, who are authors of fiction, both visionary and historic. You have heard the words of Yoav Litvin as he talks about the urge to create in the creation of subculture art movements. This is amazing radio, right? This is where we actually can feel inspired to carry on the hard work of social change, because in fact, it is important to tap into those creative visions, those creative wells that sustain us as we actually create the world anew around us. And we do it together. This is not an act for the lone and rugged individual. This is the act of communities coming together to create the world. That is what we do here on KBOO. We really do want to refresh perspectives so that we can, in fact, make something new, bold, brilliant, different, something that is based on peace and justice and truth and beauty. Please be a part of that right now. 877-500-5266. Your contribution goes so far here. Just $7 a month, $10 a month. I love to suggest that you give an hour's wage so that you know that you are working your KBOO community hour there, whatever it is you might be doing. If you're a landscaper, if you work in an office, if you're a doctor, if you're a teacher, if you're a poet, whatever it is you're doing, you know that that 1 hour you are creating a great community radio that strengthens the entire community. Call on in right now with that hour's wage contribution every month, whether it's $15 a month or $25 a month, maybe it's $12.50 a month. Go ahead and give us a call. 877-500-5266. It's all of us working together that will eventually reach that summit of $120,000. Thank you so much for listening. Right now, I just want to leave you with that number one more time. It's 877-500-5266. Give us a call. Become a member of KBOO Community Radio today.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series that takes place every third Thursday at the Clinton Street Theater. This month, the film is Chico and Rita, showing Thursday, September 15th at 6:30 p.m. Melao de Cuba and Latin Salsa Band will play, and the film will start at 7:15. Chico and Rita is a 2010 adult animated music and romantic film set in the late 1940s and early 1950s. Chico is a young piano player with big dreams. Rita is a beautiful singer with an extraordinary voice. Music and romantic desire unite them, but their journey and the tradition of the Latin ballet, the boleto, brings heartache and torment. Again, that's Chico and Rita, showing Thursday, September 15th at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.